It's 12:06. You're listening to Excursions on 91.3 WYSO. Good afternoon. I'm Jerry Kenny with the Midday News, a special edition of the Midday Newscast. We've got local and state issues to bring you, and joining us in studio, WYSO News Director Emily McCord. Good afternoon, Emily.
Thanks for having me, and you are indeed listening to special election coverage. I'm the news director here at WYSO, and I'm joined today by the entire WYSO news team. Throughout the morning, we've been bringing you results of the statewide issues and local races, and you can join us online right now. We are live blogging. That's at WYSO.org. In an election watched nationally, labor unions are celebrating one of their biggest victories in decades after turning back the Ohio law that curbed collective bargaining rights for the state's public workers. Issue 2 was defeated last night by a 61-39% margin. The law signed in late March by Governor Kasich would have banned public employee strikes, scrapped binding arbitration, and denied public workers the ability to negotiate pensions and health care benefits. Kasich had said the law would help hold down taxes and make the state more appealing to business. The governor said in a speech last night that it was clear that the people have spoken.
You have a campaign like this. You give it your best. If you don't win and the people speak in a loud voice, you pay attention to what they have to say and you think about it. And so people ask, what will you do if this doesn't fail? I can tell you now it's a chance for me to catch my breath and trying to gather my thoughts together as to what we do next. As far as local governments go, we'll work with them to help them overcome their challenges. But let me be clear, there's no bailout coming. There is no bailout because, frankly, there's no money. But what I will say is it's going to continue to be very important for local communities to figure out ways to deal with their cost challenges.
We Are Ohio, the largely union-funded opponent coalition, painted the issue as a threat to public safety and middle-class workers, spending millions of dollars on TV ads filled with images of firefighters, police officers, teachers, and nurses. David Romick is the president of the Dayton Education Association, and he's pleased with the outcome of issue two, but he did say that members of his coalition for the firefighters, teachers, nurses, and police, that there's no doubt that this issue will come up again.
Fortunately, we've got a little bit of time here to breathe. Probably that legislation will start coming back to us, I would say, in piecemeal fashion in 2012. So we'll keep an eye on legislation coming out of Columbus, as we always do, and react to it when it comes.
Romick said there were parts of Senate Bill 5 that the public and the teachers union liked, such as merit-based pay, which Romick's coalition supports.
And I think to allow those decisions to be made locally with local school boards and local teachers associations is a more valuable way to go than to sort of force it top down from Columbus. It's obvious that Ohioans are thinkers and they know what's right. And thank you for standing up for public employees.
Ellen Belcher is the former editor of the editorial page at the Dayton Daily News, and she says one of the reasons Issue 2 was defeated was that public employees were successful at getting a clear message out to Ohioans. But she says mainly it's also a rejection of Governor Kasich's policies.
After Jobs Ohio, this was his signature issue of a very young administration, and he billed this Senate Bill 5 as the antidote to not just some of the state's financial problems, but certainly local governments. And the people looked at his prescription and said, we don't think so.
Governor Kasich doesn't face election again until 2014, and Belcher says it's too soon to tell what the effect of this will have on his political future. But it may impact the 2012 election. Democrats hope overturning Issue 2 will re-energize the base. But Belcher points to Issue 3, and that's the measure on the ballot that allows Ohio to opt out of the federal health care mandate. And it also passed with an overwhelming majority.
You can't say that there was an ideological consistency there. I mean, if you want to sort of pigeonhole people and say, that all the Democrats came out and voted against Senate Bill 5 and all the Republicans came out and voted for Issue 3, well, something's amiss because, the percentages were very, very similar in terms of how it worked out at the end.
Belcher says one thing is clear from the results of Issue 3. The Obama campaign will have a lot of work to do to explain why the mandate is a good thing in Ohio. And as we just heard, Issue 3 was overwhelmingly approved in Ohio. Ohio Public Radio's Joe Ingles reports on that.
Backers of the health care constitutional amendment approved by Ohio voters say its passage shows Ohioans are fed up with mandates. Jeff Longstress says the way he sees it, this vote spells problems for Democrats in 2012.
I think we saw the first vote of 2012 right here in 2011. You know, what's this mean for Sherrod Brown, who cast the deciding vote on health care? He cast the 60th vote. Now, 65% of his electorate just said, wait a minute, that wasn't the right thing to do. That's not what we wanted. I think that sets him up for a very difficult year next year. President Obama, his number one legislative accomplishment, a lot would say his only legislative accomplishment, just went down in flames in the number one swing state in the country.
Major newspapers editorialized against Issue 3, but that didn't hold sway with voters. Longstress says the messages from Democrats and those who opposed the measure didn't resonate either.
The other side didn't have a message to use that worked, so they tried to come up with scare tactics. It's all they really had. It didn't work. Voters didn't buy it. They thought they were lying. It's those scare tactics haven't come true in other states that have passed health care freedom amendments.
I think that Mark Twain said it best. A lie can travel halfway around the world while the truth is still putting its shoes on.
That's Dale Butlin with Innovation Ohio, a group that campaigned against Issue 3. He says this amendment was sold as a way to opt out of President Obama's health care plan. But he says it can really have devastating consequences on Ohioans.
And when those consequences are fully exposed, when the taxpayers learn that they're on the hook for millions of dollars in unnecessary lawsuits and legal expenses, the Republican officials who endorse this amendment for purely political reasons will be unmasked. In time, Ohioans will be forced to fix or repeal this amendment.
But Maurice Thompson, one of the backers of Issue 3, says Ohioans won't want to get rid of this amendment. In fact, he says this is just the beginning.
We're going to get together right after this victory and decide how we want to use this amendment. We're very keen on using it to stop the administration from implementing Obamacare in Ohio.
Joe Ingles at the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau.
You are listening to special election coverage here on 91.3 WYSO. We're also live blogging on our website right now at WYSO.org. I'm Emily McCord, and I'm joined also in the studio by WYSO's Jerry Kenny. Jerry, you've been reporting on some of the school levy outcomes.
Yes. Yesterday was a mix of good news and bad news for area school districts. Voters so far appear to have rejected requests for new money in 10 districts, including Beaver Creek, Huber Heights, and Xenia. Northmont saw a 54.9 million dollar bond issue go through. That means a new high school and an early childhood development center. And voters in Lebanon approved an additional 3.78 mil levy that officials said was needed to avoid more cuts, including eliminating 100 positions in art, music, and physical education in K through 6. School officials in Xenia are chalking up yesterday's defeat of a 4.8 mil emergency levy to tough economic times. Superintendent Deborah Piotrowski says that puts the schools into the red.
Right now, what we're looking at is we're unable to pay our bills, mainly our payroll. With the passage of the levy, it would have garnered or made about $1.5 million, so we would have been able to fulfill our obligations and pay our bills. Now, what we're looking at is a shortfall, and we're not going to be able to operate in the red. We're not allowed to by the laws of the state of Ohio.
The levy was defeated nearly 2-1. The Greene County Board of Elections places the unofficial results at 66% of voters saying no to the five-year levy. Piotrowski says despite the school's dire need, she understands the situation facing voters.
Over the past several weeks, it was really heart-wrenching for me to read and to hear from some of our community members that basically they're very kind, very professional, just saying, you know, we've always supported the schools, but we are on fixed incomes and we just can't do any more. I understand that. And I told them thank you, of course, for sharing that with me, but please continue to provide some support through the school to the schools in any way you can. And we have a lot of these people that come into our schools and volunteer and will do anything we ask, but they simply did not have the money to support our levy. And they felt bad about it.
Xenia schools have already cut about 20% or $8.8 million from their budget in the last 2 years. Now, Deborah Petrowski says the Xenia School Board now has some tough decisions to make. They've had to outsource school staff in the past, and the voters' rejection of this levy will make that practice more likely. The Xenia Education Support Professionals Union, made up of school staff affected by the Xenia levy's failure, was hoping those additional funds would come through. Negotiations between the district and the union came to an impasse September 19th. Now they're facing a strike this Thursday at midnight. And one additional note, Beaver Creek Schools also saw their levy defeated yesterday. We contacted Superintendent Nick Verhoff. Here's what he had to say.
Well, obviously we are disappointed with regards to the results yesterday. I appreciate everybody's efforts in working so hard to get the word out to the public as to what Beaver Creek Schools faces. As a result of last night's levy defeat, we will be implementing another $2 million in cuts in services and programs and personnel that were outlined in our board resolution at the October board meeting. But with all that being said, the problem still does not go away for Beaver Creek City Schools. We still are on the back end of the levy cycle. We're now going into 9 years without any voted increase in operating dollars and losing 28% of our state funding, which is the highest percentage of state funding than any other district in the Miami Valley that's been cut. We're left with a little other option here than to either increase our revenue or continue cutting our budget towards state minimums.
Beaver Creek Schools Superintendent Nick Verhoff. Emily.
I'm also joined in the studio with WYSO's Sarah Buckingham. Sarah, you've been reporting on a race in Montgomery County, the Dayton City Commission.
Voters in Dayton chose incumbents for two open seats on the City Commission. Dean Lovelace and Matt Joseph each earned a little more than 36% of the vote. First-time candidate Mark Manovich took 15%, and William Pace came in fourth with 11%. Matt Joseph has been in office for 8 years, but he acknowledges that being an incumbent doesn't mean an automatic win.
There's an old saying in politics that says there are only two ways to run a campaign. You either run opposed or you run scared. And too many people have gotten beaten not paying attention to that saying. So it's a tough campaign. I'm proud to have won, and I'm very happy, and I'm honored that the citizens chose to give me 4 more years.
According to Joseph, the biggest issue facing the city right now is the budget, and he says he will continue advocating for Dayton in the face of statewide cuts.
The state, as you know, is chopping millions of dollars from local municipalities' budgets, and we're no exception. So we have to figure out how to deal with those cuts, which I gotta say are really unfair. The governor accuses us of not being able to manage money well, but we're lean. We've dropped 40% of our employees in the last 10 years. The state still has as many or more as they did at that time. So I think it's sort of hypocritical for the governor to be telling us to look after our budget. He's criticizing us for not being able to balance them rather than take care of his own house.
Joseph says he hopes things will start to turn around in Dayton and that he wants to be part of a rebuilding effort rather than focusing solely on trimming the city's budget. Dean Lovelace is out of town and could not be reached for comment.
WYSO's Clark County reporter Wayne Baker also joins us in the studio. Wayne, you're reporting on the Parks District levy.
That's correct, Emily. On Tuesday, Clark County voters approved a 0.6 mil Parks levy. As unofficial results show, the levy passed with 57% of the vote. The 5-year Parks levy was an attempt to generate money to fund the maintenance of green space, bike trails, and parks throughout Clark County. The levy will generate annually $1 million for the National Trail and Parks Recreation District and the Clark County Park District, the two groups responsible for the maintenance of the parks in Clark County. A similar 7-year 1.62 mil levy failed last year. At that time, voters seemed confused as to whether or not the maintenance of golf courses and the city's water park would be included in the funding. Rob Baker, a political science professor at Wittenberg University, says levy organizers did a better job this year of putting together a package that appealed to more voters, and the levy's victory was the biggest of the night in Clark County.
Well, I think from a pure local perspective, the biggest winner was the parks. I mean, they have really struggled. So, you know, just thinking about it purely locally, that's a victory for all Clark Countyans, because if you talk to people, they'll tell you they like parks, they're struggling with, you know, how to pay for things, everything. So I think that's true. But from a larger perspective, I think.
Emily, also, Springfield Township voters decided to oust Fiscal Officer Herb Greer, giving a nod to Fifth Third Bank Vice President Mike Hively by a count of 52% to 48%. According to the Springfield News Sun, Greer has been under fire for bookkeeping errors regarding township business. Rob Baker was not surprised by the outcome of that race, nor was he surprised by City Commission incumbent Kevin O'Neill's 55% to 45% victory over challenger Richard Spangler.
Coin, Mr. Spangler, who has run in several different races over the last few years, state legislature, for example, has not done very well traditionally when he's run, and so people may have seen him as maybe a little weaker than others might have thought. And so I think the real
The Clark County Board of Elections reported that 46% of registered voters turned out to vote in Tuesday's election. Rob Baker says that is less than the 62% that turned out in 2009, but still a respectable showing for Clark County.
Now, the vote in Ohio overall was up, and the union law was contributing to the state's highest voter turnout in 20 years for an off-year general election. Results posted early today by the Ohio Secretary of State's office show 46% of the state's registered voters cast ballots on Tuesday. To find a higher turnout for an odd-year election, you'd have to look back to 1991, when 51.3% voted. Many voters said at the polling places Tuesday that they were motivated by the referendum on the law limiting union rights. That law was signed in March and repealed 61% to 39%. And in the last off-year election 2 years ago, turnout was 44.6%. That election featured a vote that approved four casinos for Ohio. Visit WYSO.org, where you can find summaries of the area races and full election results from counties around the Miami Valley, as well as coverage on the statewide issues from Ohio Public Radio. I'm Emily McCord. I've been joined by Sarah Buckingham, Wayne Baker, and Jerry Kenny. Juliette Frumholt is on the web, live blogging right now. Thanks for listening to special coverage. This is a special coverage of this election on 91.3 WYSO.